Blog Talk Radio.
Is another song she did? Y'all remember this? I can't do it like her, but I'ma do it. If you got a pump in your life, take it to Jesus. Seems like nothing ever turned out right. Take it to Jesus. You see, I turn it for myself, and I don't need nobody else. Cheat
Good evening, good evening. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. It is June the 21st, 2022, and you're listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. Of course, you know that First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue, the beautiful city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we are having in-person services. You are cordially invited to come and be a part of the services of First Baptist of Holly Springs. You can come. Of course, we are practicing social distancing. We are taking temperatures. We're wearing our face masks, and we're doing all that we can to make sure that we are safe in the Lord's house. But you are cordially invited to come and be a part of the services at First Baptist. We invite you also to go to our Facebook page. Go there, the First Baptist of Holly Springs Facebook page. Go there. You'll find more information about First Baptist of Holly Springs. You'll find there our link for the Bible study each week. You'll also find all the upcoming events happening at First Baptist. And you'll also find the Sunday morning service. We go live every Sunday morning, 10 a.m. 10 a.m. is our service. Every Sunday morning, we go live on Facebook. So you can go to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Facebook page, and you can see our Sunday morning services. Of course, we would like you to come, but if you're living out of the area, you can always go to the Facebook page, tune in, and watch our Sunday morning services. We want you to know that this coming Sunday is Deacon and Deaconess Day. Deacon and Deaconess Day at First Baptist. Our special minister will be Reverend Melinda Fuqua Mack of Durham from Judah House of Praise. Reverend Mack, I've been knowing her for a long time, and she's going to come and bring the message for Deacon and Deaconess Day this Sunday morning. So if you would like to come and be a part of that, you can, or you can tune in to the Facebook page, and you can see that service. Now, there are three ways in which you can give to the house of God. You can, of course, come to church and bring the tithes and offering with you, or you can come by the church between the hour of 10 and 11:30. Trustees are there to take care of your financial needs. Can also mail your contributions into the church. Go to the Facebook page and find the correct mailing address for that. Also, you can use the Cash App. We do have a Cash App, FBCHS, FBCHS. That stands for First Baptist Church, Holly Springs. You can be a supporter of the house of God tonight. We want to be in prayer for all of our people who are on our sick list, those who are in the hospital, those who are just going through, those who find themselves locked behind prison bars, or whatever situation that people find themselves in. We must know that there are people who are out here who are going through it this time, whether it be economic reasons or whether it be sick reasons, or it may be some things that we just can't fathom. But whatever it is, we pray that God will bless them as they continue to serve him. And, of course, again, I want to thank all of the ministers that have come into First Baptist over this past month. I want to thank Reverend Edward Holloway for services that he has rendered, Reverend John Russell for one of our revivalists, Reverend Coleman Elliott, who is another one of our revivalists, Minister Gwendolyn Lester, who is an associate minister of First Baptist. I want to thank her as well. So I want to thank all of those who have been doing such a great job at First Baptist. I want to thank all the deacons and trustees, all of those who are working so diligently to make sure that First Baptist has all that it needs. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this Bible study tonight. We thank you for those who are on the line. We thank for those who are listening over the internet. Some may hear this Bible study long after it's been recorded. We pray, God, that as we go through our lesson tonight, we open our hearts and open our minds to make us receptive to these words. We pray, God, that you would continue to bless us as we continue to study in your word. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Our lesson tonight comes from the book of Judges. Let's go to Judges 16, Judges 16, verse 21. I'll pause while you find it. Judges 16, verse 21, We're going to go down to from verse 21 to verse 31. You have all heard the story of Samson, the strong man. We've all heard the story of Samson. But tonight I wanted to do something on the last part of his life. This week's lesson focuses on the last scene of Samson's life, having been humbled by the Philistines because of his moral carelessness. He found himself being used to entertain them in a pagan temple. God would allow him to regain a measure of respectability in his death. Yet he reminds us that one's gifts by themselves do not guarantee spiritual usefulness. Let me say that again. This story of Samson wants to remind us that our gifts by themselves do not guarantee spiritual usefulness. Born to a woman previously barren, Samson was divinely ordained to initiate Israel's deliverance from the Philistines. You'll find that in Judges 13:1-5. On several occasions, Samson used his great God-given strength to defeat Israel's enemies, and he climaxed this success with the slaughter of 1,000. These Philistines with the jawbone of an ass, he beat them. You'll find that story in Judges 15:14-17. However, his attraction to women proved to be his downfall. The wiles of Delilah eventually led him to reveal the source of his strength. He had power with God, but because of a Nazarite vow, he was forbidden to drink any fermented beverages, any raisins, any grapes or grape leaves, as well as anything that grows on vines. He was not to cut his hair and come in contact with a dead body. While Samson was asleep on Delilah's lap, she called a man in who shaved his head. And this in his strength left him, but Samson was not aware that the Lord had left him as well. You'll find that in 16:18-20. So when we get down to this first verse of 21, it says, but the Philistines took him and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Samson was a judge. A lot of folk did not know that. But Samson judged Israel for 20 years. You'll find that in Judges 15:20. And over that period of 20 years, the Philistines continued to be a threat to Israel. But Samson was also a major threat to the Philistines. But now things have changed. As a result of seeking his own pleasure and not God's, Samson found himself in the arms of a treacherous woman with his hair cut off, and not knowing that the Lord had departed from him. When he woke up from sleeping in Delilah's lap, he intended to go out against the Philistines. But instead of defeating them, as he had done on numerous occasions, the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. Samson's longtime enemies, the Philistines, had finally been able to capture him and hold him permanently. They put out, or as the Bible said, they gouged out his eyes and took him and bound him with fetters of chains from the valley of Surek, where he was with Delilah when she tricked him. They also bound him with feathers of bronze chains to make sure that Samson would not turn against him. Once they had him in Gaza, the Philistines made him grind in the prison house. Like a slave or an animal, Samson was reduced to grinding grain as a means of humiliation as well as for their profit and punishment and both. So this man was chained and bound. His eyes were gouged out, and he was tied to a grinding stone where you would usually have an oxen turning the stone, passing the stone onto his back. And he was like a slave made to grind grain in the prison house. So verse 22 says, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. See, the Philistines did pluck out Samson's eye, but they should have been concerned not about his eye, but about his hair. They should have been concerned about his hair. For the author of Judges wrote, howbeit, the hair of his head again began to grow after he was shaven. We don't know how long Samson was in prison, but by this time, it was probably months. At any rate, while still grinding in the mill, the hair on his head gradually began to grow. Let's not forget that there was no power in Samson's hair. But mentioning it here indicates the return of God's favor to him, undoubtedly after his repentance. His hair began to grow when Samson began to realize that his power was not in his hair, but was in God. His hair just symbolizes the fact that God was beginning to take pity upon him. And God knew that he had ordained him for a purpose. And so the fact that his hair was beginning to grow again is simply an indication of the Lord's presence coming back to him. The growth of his hair was neither the cause nor the sign that his strength had returned. It was a sign that God had accepted him as a Nazarite again. And since he had broken all the laws of the nation, God had accepted him once again. So in verse 23, it says, then the Lord of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, small g god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. Capturing this great enemy was a great occasion. They wanted to throw a party because they had captured Samson. Capturing this great enemy who had troubled them for 20 years, celebration. So the Bible said the lords of the Philistines gathered them together to offer a great sacrifice unto this god called Dagon, this Dagon idol, to rejoice, for they had captured Samson. The lords of the Philistines included all the leaders, all the potentates, all the governors, all the men, all of the people who were somebody in the Philistine world. They all came together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. This god, Dagon, was like an idol god of the Philistines. The Philistines made their god themselves. This was a god that the Philistines made themselves. And it's represented by an image. Upper part, which is in the shape of a man, and the lower part was in the shape of a fish. However, archaeological discoveries shown that this idol was actually associated with weather and grain and was considered the father of the god Baal. You know the name Baal. Dagon is considered to be Baal's father. If Dagon was their god of grain, it would explain why Samson torched the Philistine grain fields and crops, where Samson would tie flames to foxtails and loose them into the grain fields of the Philistines. This god Dagon that they were worshiping, him because he was part of that grain deity, and it could be traced back 2000 BC. And later, when the Philistines migrated to Canaan, they adopted some of the same aspects of that religion of those they conquered during the worship of Dagon. The reason the Philistines gave for this celebration was, our God have delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. They knew Delilah had betrayed Samson, and they had paid her to do so. You'll find that in 16, 4, and 5. Yet, they attributed this capture to their god, Dagon. What they did not know was that it was not the power of their god, Dagon, that enabled them to overcome Israel. but the God of Israel, who is the true judge, allowed these oppressors to mistreat this people because of their sin. You'll find that in Judges 2, 14, whenever we leave God, whenever we begin to worship things other than God, whenever we fall away from the glory of God, fall away from the precepts of God, then we find ourselves in a bad situation. And this is what happened to Israel. This is what happened to them because they had turned away from the Lord and began to do their own thing. They began once again. This is not the first time. Of course, we know that. This wasn't the first time. They've done this over and over again. As soon as they got comfortable, as soon as they thought that they had all that they needed, they would always turn on God. And God would always have to send an affliction upon them to get their attention to turn back to him. And this time it was the Philistines, that great for centuries, the Philistines, great warriors, great fighters. They were a thorn in the side of Israel. So when we get to verse 24, it says, "And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." This phrase, "and when the people saw him," when they saw him, when they brought Samson out, parents at this Philistine temple, when they brought him out, that didn't happen until the next verse. It is more likely that it refers to the time the Philistines saw him after his capture, whether he was grinding in the prison house or being paraded before them other times. Whenever they saw Samson, they would all praise that God Dagon. Whenever they saw him, whenever they got a glimpse of him, whenever they paraded him around, whenever he was shown in public, the people would begin to praise this God Dagon for delivering Samson into their hands. For they said, our God had delivered into our hands, our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. Just as the people of God promised him a victory over the world for rescuing a soul from the kingdom of darkness, likewise, believers rejoice when they run the effectiveness of God's people. Whenever the devil wins, he always rejoices. Whenever the devil is able to cut short the things of God, he always rejoices, just like these people were. They were rejoicing to their pagan God because they had captured their enemy. They praised whatever God of forces they worship. And the true God suffers when we do not give God, the true God, the praise. When we begin to praise the true God, that's when things begin to happen in our favor. But there are many today worship idol gods and who worship the Antichrist. There are many double worshipers in the world today, and they rejoice anytime there's a victory over God's people, just like these people were rejoicing because there was a victory over God's people. When we are tempted to sin, let us remember that our failures reflect unfavorably on the God that we serve. If you're going to call yourself a child of God, if you're going to claim the name of Jesus Christ, then you must remember your actions reflect on that. What you do and what you say reflect on your God. What you do and what you say reflect on Christ and on your belief. As the Philistines had done before, again they declared, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy. But this time they added, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. To the Philistines, Samson had become single-handedly a destroyer of their country. For many years, the Philistines had been frustrated by Samson's strength, and they were perplexed and puzzled about his cunning ways. 30 of them to attain their clothing and pay off a bet. He had set foxes with torches tied to their tails to the Philistine grain fields and destroyed their crops. When the Philistines retaliated by burning Samson's wife and his father, Samson killed a number of them. when the men of Judah feared the Philistines, vengeance on them, they bound Samson and turned him over to the Philistines. And God's strength, he killed thousands of men with a donkey's jawbone. This man, Samson, wreaked havoc on the Philistines. They were glad that they had captured this guy. This guy, single-handedly, was tearing the Philistines up. He was handing them all that they could handle by himself. So they were glad. They were glad that they had finally shut this man down, because this man had been something that they could not deal with. So in verse 25, it says, "And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he might make us sport. And they called for Samson, prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars." You see, after a time of celebration at this great party for this idol god Dagon, the Philistines were merry. The Bible says merry. That's another word for saying they were drunk. A whole lot of eating and drinking had gone on. And this is what they did in those pagan religious ceremonies. And no doubt many observances have become quite drunk, and all kinds of debaucheries were going on to entertain the people. And so now they're feeling pretty good. They're feeling pretty good about themselves. We're having a problem. We're feeling good. So the Bible says they called for Samson that he might, they might make sport of him. The phrase "make sport" means that they can laugh at him. They can throw things at him. They can mock him. They could say things to him. This may imply that Samson was to put on a show, or maybe they were expecting him to dance or perform some great feat of strength as someone might do at a carnival or at a circus. It may simply mean that they were parading him around back and forth so people could look at him and cheer him and touch him. Maybe they even tended to subject him to some type of physical harm. As I said before, they wanted to spit on him, things at him, curse him out, and all kind of things. They wanted to make sport of him. They wanted to have fun. They wanted to have fun with Samson. You see, even if we are living godly lives, God's people cannot escape being mocked by the wicked. Elijah was mocked by a young man in 2 Kings 2:22. Jeremiah was derided or mocked by bystanders in Jerusalem, Jeremiah 20:7. The enemies of the returned exile from Babylon were ridiculed when they began to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. You'll find that in Nehemiah 4:1. Even Jesus suffered horrible indignations and indignities while on his cross-country journeys preaching. And the Athenians, they mocked Paul for his message. Many others suffered the same fate. But how much worse is it when believers are mocked before the world for being consistent in their spiritual behavior? The world enjoys catching believers in their weakness and using those weaknesses to discredit God's message. Let me say that again. The world enjoys watching us in our weaknesses, because that weakness shows the frailty of your faith. The world enjoys catching believers in their weakness and using those weaknesses to discredit God's message. The world especially rejoices whenever a well-known Christian falls. And this is why it's such big news whenever one of those preachers mess up, or one of those people who are officers in a church, whenever they do something wrong and it gets in the news, it's a big deal. You all want to talk about it. Because the world especially rejoices whenever a well-known Christian falls. We must never let human weakness be an excuse for sin. By God's strength, we must take away the world's opportunity, being mocked for being godly or ungodly, but being ridiculed for inconsistency. We should always be on point, because there are those who are watching to see if you're going to be consistent they will ridicule you the minute that you're not. Then they call for Samson, the scripture says, out of the prison house to make him sport. Just as the people had requested, Samson was brought from the prison house and he stood in front of the Philistines and he made them sport, meaning that he made them laugh. Afterwards, Samson was placed between the two pillars of this pagan temple. So Samson came out and he made them laugh. They all did what they wanted to do and said what they wanted to say, threw what they wanted to throw. And Samson just stood there. But in verse 26 and 27, we see something different. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Although Samson was blind, he knew how the temple was constructed, and he conceived a plan for taking vengeance on these Philistines. As I said before, a lot of people know Samson as being a strong man, but what they did not know is that he was a smart man as well when it came down to warfare. He wasn't smart in his personal life, by no means. But when it came down to defeating an enemy, Samson knew how to take it to him. And like many pagan temples, this temple was probably built around an ancestral courtyard. The roof was supported by pillars, wooden pillars set on a base of stone. Many spectators could gather in the covered areas surrounding this big courtyard, while many more could look down from the rooftop. Then Samson said to the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. He asked the one who was attending him, the one who was leading him out, to put him upon the pillars that he could lean upon him to support his balance. The young man did not know what he was about to do. He simply Samson wanted to be near something steady. So he put him against the pillars of the house, this great pagan temple. He had already been placed between these pillars. Now he pretended to be tired so that he could lean upon them. So verse 27 says, now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. There were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. The entire inner part of this building was full of men and women. Among them were all the lords, all the leaders, all the potentates, all of the people who were somebody in the Philistine world there. Some were on the rooftop. Some were in the courtyard. They were all there because they all wanted to celebrate this great time of capturing this man by the name of Samson. We also told that about 3,000 men or 3,000 people were upon the roof of this great temple. They were looking down on the courtyard while Samson made sport and entertained them. They were looking down on him. No doubt many of them cheered when they brought him out. No doubt many of them threw things at him as he was brought out. No doubt many of them hurled all kinds of accusations and name-calling at him as he came out. So in verse 28, and Samson called unto the Lord. Stop right there. We got a problem, y'all. Now Samson is talking to God. And the Lord said, he said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee. Only this once, O Lord, that I may be at to avenge of the Philistines for my two eyes. We got a problem now. Samson is talking to God. God has already ordained this young man to do what he's supposed to do. When Samson began to talk to God, things will change. Samson called on the Lord. This was the first recorded prayer by Samson since the day he killed thousands of Philistines in Judges 15 and 8. At that time, he had given credit to God for the victory and prayed for something to quench his thirst. And his prayer was answered. Apparently, Samson had not been a man of prayer. He enjoyed his great strength as a gift from God, yet he took it for granted. In fact, he abused it, using it to do whatever he wanted to do with it and deliver himself from situations in which he had morally compromised himself. It never occurred to him that he could use his strength and begin to speak to God. And perhaps he would not have been in the situation that he found himself in. It should occur to us that we should always have a prayer line, that we should always speak to God, because when we speak to God, things begin to happen. You see, unfortunately, it's easy for us to take God's gift for granted. Whatever God has given us, a lot of times we take that for granted. So when he's given them, these gifts to us, these gifts are not to be used for our glory. Whatever gifts God gives to you is to be used for his glory. Yet how many of us use them to get our own glory? For many Christians, the only time they pray is when they have a problem, whenever they find themselves in danger, whenever they find difficulties in their life. And when those difficulties are past, when that danger is over, they often go back to having confidence in self instead of having confidence in God. It took the tragedy of blindness to bring Samson to his spiritual senses, but at least he regained them before it was all lost. In his darkness, he searched for the spiritual light, blasphemous din of praise. In a pagan temple, he began to speak to the God he knew, the one true God. Now Samson prayed in earnest. He said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee. Only this once, O Lord, that I may be at once to avenge of the Philistines for my 2 hours. When Samson asked the Lord God to remember him, he was asking God to restore his favor to him. Samson knew he didn't deserve it, but he pleaded for one final demonstration of God's grace. He then asked the Lord to strengthen him. He had previously trusted his long hair for strength, often without thinking about its supernatural significance. Now, although his hair had started to grow again, he no longer looked to it. Instead, he called on God, the real source of his strength. Samson asked for strength for only this once, or just one more time. He then asked to be restored to what he once was, for he knew his life as a judge was worth very little without his eyesight. Neither did he have any desire to free him. He merely asked for one last chance, one more infusion of God's power so that he might avenge these Philistines. In other words, he wanted to be able to avenge the loss of his eyesight and avenge the loss and the plight that the Philistines had put on his people. He wanted to wreck and wreak havoc on them one more time, that even blind, he wanted to do something to that great enemy of Israel one more time, just to let them know that he served a real living God. But I'm sure that by then, Samson also wanted to gain a victory for the Lord. Anyone should argue that Samson was wrong and seeking revenge. We should remember that from the very beginning, he was God's instrument of vengeance for the sinful Philistine. He was only asking to be able to fulfill the purpose for which he was called. So in verse 29, it says, and Samson took hold of the two pillars upon which he of the house of the temple stood, and on which was bone up, of one with the right hand, and of the other with his left. The Lord answered Samson's prayer, and he grabbed both of the two pillars upon which the house stood, and on which was bone up, or supported on. He had one pillar in each hand. If anyone in Philistine audience was sober enough to recognize the danger, it was too late. Whether Samson pushed the pillar, or whether he pulled the pillars, I don't know. But whatever he did, it brought the house down. Whatever he did, it was good enough to bring the base of those pillars down, thus removing the temple's essential support. And Samson said, verse 30, let me die with these Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the Lord and upon all the people that were therein. Dead which he slew at this death were more than they had slew in his life. As Samson began to move the temple supports of the pillar, he said to the Lord, let me die with the Philistines. This should not be seen as an act of suicide, for he had merely wanted to kill himself. He could have done it a long time ago. Neither should this be seen as an act of great heroism, for Samson knew that without his eyesight, his usefulness was over. It would have been more heroic to serve God in this capacity than to do it after this. Instead, Samson's request was to let me die with the Philistines, really stating the fact the only way he could destroy these Philistines to die himself, to die with them. He had made his peace with God and received his strength, but this didn't spare him from the consequences of his careless lifestyle. In the same sense, it is true today that the consequences of our sin may follow the sinner throughout their earthly life, even though they have been forgiven by God. There's always going to be consequences for what we do wrong. Even if God forgives us, there's still going to be consequences that we're going to have to deal with whenever we mess up, whenever we go against the power of God. So the Bible says, Samson bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell on the Lord and upon all the people that were in it. As Samson pushed or pulled as hard as he could, and the rulers and everyone in it, and he removed the supporting pillars, the fall of the house was hesitant by the weight of the house. All of the weight was on those two pillars, those two central pillars in that temple. And when he moved those pillars, and it don't take a whole lot, once those pillars are moved, then the whole base or support weight structure of that house is shifted. And all the weight begins to collapse on its own. The roof collapsed, meaning the Lord and the rulers and all those dignitaries were crushed by the weight of the stones that fell upon them. The last part of this verse says, the dead which he slew at this death were more than which he had slew in his lifetime. Well, Samson killed a lot of folk in his lifetime. So if this number was larger than that number, then it would be in the thousands. It would be somewhere in the neighborhood of 5,000 to 10,000 people who died at this particular time. Because Samson killed thousands and thousands of people. And the scripture says the people that he killed in this temple were more than the people he had killed in his own life. So this last verse says, then the brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Esther and the burying place of Manoah, his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. The term brethren mean those who were biologically related to him, whether it be his brothers or some cousins, don't know who they were, but these were people of his tribe or band or people who he was associated with. The story of Samson sees to indicate that he was an only child, but it also may mean that he had some half-brothers and some half-sisters. The phrase, all the house of his father, That means that all the distant relatives, even the servants, could have come. At any rate, Samson's body was released to his family, and all the members of his family took him, and they buried him in their ancestral home where their father was buried. They buried him there, and there the family homestead where Samson was performed some of the early feats of his strength. His body was placed there beside his father. Who had died so many years earlier. Burial was important in the ancient world, and the body of a hated enemy was often abused to show contempt for them. However, Samson had killed so many Philistines that there was nobody left to object to his family coming to get his body. So they were able to just come in, take him out, take him home, and give him a proper funeral. So as I conclude tonight, Samson was blessed with godly parents with natural abilities, And he was even blessed with supernatural enabling of the Holy Spirit. But Samson failed miserably. His lack of spiritual sensitivity and his passion for women led to his humiliation and his downfall with the Philistines. Maybe it took this kind of humiliation to make Samson realize his need for the Lord. It is instructive that Samson's greatest victory came when he finally realized he needed the Lord and called upon the Lord in faith. While we always must seek a constant walk of faith, it is comforting to know that even when we fail, the Lord, but we must remember that Samson failed miserably. His lack of sensitivity and his passion for women led to his humiliation and his downfall. Maybe it took this to bring Samson to his senses. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let something as bad as this happen to you before you come to your senses and begin to realize that you serve the one true God. Don't let humiliation fall upon you. Don't find yourself blind, not maybe not physically blind, but spiritually blind, chained up spiritually, paraded around spiritually, called names spiritually. Don't let this happen to you before you realize that your power comes from the Lord. I'm going to open the lines. There may be some tonight who would like to speak. Of course, you know that you're not obligated to speak. I will simply call the last four digits of your phone number. I'll call your area code, the last four digits of your phone number. And if you would like to speak, you can do so. We'll start with the area code 919. Last four digits, 3447. Your name. 919-3447. Can you hear me? Oh, yeah. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. This is Deacon Fuller.
Good.
Okay, I can hear you now. How's everybody? You doing well?
Everybody's doing well.
Good, good. Well, I just, one thing, I guess out of this lesson I got, the word that I got from just listening was just that, you know, there are great people who have done great things and have fallen to all types of vices. And it's still, even though Samson, his demise came about in the end, but God still used him to help vanquish some of those evil folks. Even in death, even in his death, it vanquished some of those, the evil that was in the place of the Philistines. But it just reminds me of how many people have, and when I look at society and how the leaders and how many of our athletes and stuff that we've deemed great and have done great things have fallen to different vices and stuff. But, you know, more importantly, even in the church, the pastors, ministers, deacons, those leadership roles in the church, they're human too and have done things. But yet God still has an open line to those folks, just like the person who has not done those things and is still able to use those people. But that's all I had to add. I like the story of Samson because it just reminds me of the gifts that we have. But those, like you said before, it wasn't the gift. It's your connection to God, being obedient to God. Mm-hmm. You know. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Area code 919. Last four digits 2414.
This is Miss Mangum. How is everybody doing?
Good evening.
I enjoyed the lesson. Let's just have a couple of things here tonight, Reverend Rogers. In the lesson here, what I was studying a little bit at, where we see that the Spirit of God moved upon Samson to give him his strength. I always thought that, you know, that that was in his hair. But when Samson, he continued to, he just disregarded the vow or calling that God bestowed upon him, and that is when his strength was taken away from him. Mm-hmm. And we see that God often works in spite of our rebellion, you know, about the story of Samson, and God allows us to make wrong choices, and he won't force us to follow or obey him. But though God does not force us to obey him, he still can withhold his blessings and empowerment when we don't obey him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's
basically what happened to Samson. Amen. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Area code 757, last four digits 5803.
Good evening, everyone. This is Sherry.
Good evening.
And
how are you?
Yeah. I'm well, everyone.
Go right ahead.
Good. The biggest thing that I took from the story of Samson is, you know, God blesses us with gifts, and what he wants from us is to use, you know, those gifts to glorify him, to, you know, do right by mm-hmm. him, not to misuse them or even, I guess, some people ignore their gifts. But, you know, that we should use them to glorify God and serve him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that's what happened to him as well. Like you said,
yeah.
So many people use our gifts to glorify ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
right.
They do.
Area code 609, last four digits, 5126.
Good evening, everyone. I really don't have anything to say. I kind of was getting stuck on, I always say that, I don't have nothing to say, but then I say something, right? On 28, where it says, "O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." I'm kind of perplexed on God allowed him to avenge, or did God avenge, knowing that he would also die?
Well, you got to remember that the whole purpose of this man's birth was to do vengeance for God. He was to be a punisher of the Philistines. So when he asked God to allow him to have revenge, he was just simply asking God to let him fulfill the mission that God had sent him to.
Okay.
Did that
so
answer your question?
God allowed him to avenge. Am
right.
I understanding that correctly?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, that was God. It was God, as I said before, the whole purpose for this man was to do damage to the Philistine.
Okay.
That was his whole purpose. That's why he was born like he was, to do exactly what he was doing. And so when he asked God, could he take the, of course, God is the one that gave him the strength. Of course, God is the one that's directing all of this. Of course, we know that. But he asked that God use him again to do what he was born to do. That's how that
okay.
works. Area code 5088. Are you online?
Yes, I am, Pastor.
Good evening.
Good evening. I enjoyed the lesson. I heard about half of it. So I'm going to go back and listen to the entire message. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, I thank all of you. Listen, does anybody else have anything they'd like to add? Any questions? As we see this study of object lesson, let us remember that we can easily lose whatever God has given us if we don't use it the right way. Let us remember that no matter how big we are, how strong we are, no matter how powerful we are, whatever our position may be in the political world or the social world or even in the church world, we can be brought down. Sin can trip us up, and we can be brought down. Let us not get too confident. Let us always be vigilant, for sin and temptation is out there. And no matter how strong you are, you can be brought down. So let us not be too conceited. Let us not get too big-headed in what we do. But give God the glory in all that we do, that he may get the glory in our lives, so that we can continue to do what he has purposed us to do, just like Samson was. All right, well, I thank all of you for being on the line tonight, unless anyone else has anything else to add. All right, well, let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for all of those who are on the line tonight, those who will hear this Bible study long after it's been recorded. We pray, God, that as we have studied the word tonight, Father, that you have imparted in each of us the understanding of this word, that we may know the principles that come through your word, that we may stand on the promises that come through your word. And Lord, let us be vigilant. Let us always give your name praise for all that we do and for all that we have. Let us all remember that whatever we do to glorify your name. And then, Lord, give us satisfaction in our hearts to be confident in who we are, where we are. Give us an understanding in our hearts, Father, that things can get better in our lives, that we must continue to give your name the glory. And whatever consequences come from our sin, let us accept them. Let us understand them. Let us accept them and move past them so that we can go further and further in loving you. Father, we love you tonight. We give your name all the praise. We give your name all the glory. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless you all.
Night.
Have a good night.
Amen. God bless everyone.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless. Good night.
Good night.
I've had the mountain to climb. Didn't think I could, but I crossed. Some battles I won, and some I lost. All the time I was trying to keep God's commandments down here below. That's all I was trying to do. There's an ill way down in my soul. It's better felt than can ever be told. I've come a long way, but I'm still got a long way to go. You see, I've had
me a rock
and roll. Oh, yeah.
Me a rock and roll.
Yeah.
Me a rock and roll.
I've conquered
me a
fear.
Me a
fear. I've been wrong.
All good for right.
I've lost me
a fight. Me a fear for right.
But I didn't get this good.
Before
this.